All right, welcome to our Upper Room program. Today, I want to bless God for how God has been helping us and His faithfulness in our lives since the beginning of this week. And of course, in spite of the challenges, we are still able to make it to this program, which tells us about God's faithfulness and how He has promised to make all things beautiful for us. I'm so glad to have those who are listening to the sound of my voice and those who will be joining in the program. I want to say a big thank you for attending this program. The operant program is actually staged for the purpose of the apostolic recovery of the church. A lot of things are going on in the church, and there is a need for each and every one of us to saddle up, each and every one of us to stay guard, to watch over our soul, and to avoid being swayed away with false doctrines and teachings of today. And it's meant to as well equip us and to make us kingdom functionaries in our individual lives, in our families, to stay close to God, to be able to learn the ways of God, to understand how to overcome in our walk with God, how to overcome the challenges that comes to us in our Christian faith. There are a lot of things that would come at us, just like Christ's walk in the world, and there are a lot of things that actually, you know, came to him as, you know, forms of temptations and, you know, persecutions and all that. And so that's the purpose of the Upper Room program, to be a stage so as to ensure that get towards the apostolic recovery of the church. And before we proceed and looking at today's subject, I will be praying with us, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at today's subject, and then we'll go from there. I want us to bow our heads as we commit ourselves into the hands of God today. Let's thank God for the gift of life. Let's thank God for how God has made it possible for us to be part of today's program, the Upper Room. And our coming today will be a blessing to our lives. We won't just come so as to be able to attend the program, but to be able to find reasons to adhere to the instructions of God and its Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will minister life to us, and He will speak directly to us, to our lives, to our soul, that our spirit, our soul will be revived, and we will as well be revived and prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be equipped as good soldiers of Jesus Christ to be able to withstand the trials, the temptations, the persecution, and everything that will come at us as Christians. Let's pray that God will give us the grace to be able to stay strong, to stand strong in this end time and the false doctrines and teachings that flies around, and the things that the enemy is planning against our faith will not take over our lives in the name of Jesus. Let's pray that God will give us the grace to overcome, will empower us through His word, will empower us through the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray that as we look into God's words today, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for making this day a possibility in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for another time for the Upper Room program. This program which you have staged, get towards the apostolic recovery of the church. Lord, I pray that as we are equipped daily through your word, Lord, we pray that you will help us to stand strong and to overcome the temptations and things that will come at us and will shake our faith. Lord, we pray that you will help us to remain strong by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. The grace to be the doer of your words and not the hearers only, I pray that you will grant unto us in Jesus' name. Open our eyes so as to be able to see that which you want us to see and to understand. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to know that which you want us to know and to understand at this time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on Upper Room. And of course, we'll be looking at an important subject before us, which talks about the need for us to be watchmen in this end time. The need for us to be watchmen. Watchmen in our homes, watchmen at work, watchmen anywhere we find ourselves. We need to be watchmen. Now, when someone comes into the faith, there is a growth that is needed. The person grows from being a new birth in Christ, drinking milk and eating meat much later, and the person is being able to, you know, gain stature. And there is a need for us to stay strong and to be watchmen. There are things that will come to us, but if we are not watching, if we don't stand, you know, to watch, to stand as watchmen, the enemy can come in any way to take advantage of us and to be able to sway us away from the faith we claim we have. So the topic before us today, well, we'll be looking at the making of a watchman, the making of a watchman. Now, we'll be looking at a couple of passages of scriptures, basically, and then from there, we'll move on. The making of a watchman. Now, what does it mean to be a watchman? Now, many of us have seen in the movies, basically, how that, you know, in a country, there are borders, basically. There are, you know, borders into the entrance of a country. And then there are people that actually stand guard at night, even when you are asleep, to guide the territorial integrity of a country, of a nation, either by the air, through the Air Force, those we know popularly as Air Force, to guide against external aggressions, against external enemies and all that, enemies that wants to take over the land, take over the territory, take over the government. The Air Force are those who play that role in a normal world. And then in the sea, on the sea as well, there are borders on the sea, which the Navy, those who actually, you know, watch over the borders of the sea. And then we'll talk about the land, which talks about the military and those who are law enforcement, basically, to make sure that there are no enemies, you know, that want to invade the land. So the same thing, the Christian faith, we'll talk about watchmen. Now, basically, you will discover that when we sleep at night, there are dispatch. Even during the day, there are dispatch of angels, basically, that watch over us. And then you hear testimonies of, I think an angel took over that scene and was able to save the car from getting crashed. And you see testimonies, people giving sharing testimony of, you know, angelic encounters who appears as human form. Now, the way angels watch over us at night, so we also much watch over our soul, over our lives. So we need to be watchmen. Now, it is evident to us that we are not alone in the world. As angels watch over us, we also need to be watchmen, basically. Praying at night, watching during the day and night, we also need to start strong. Now, it's not enough for you to say, well, I'm not a prayer warrior. I don't pray long hours and all that. God wants you to start doing those things, basically. You need to watch over your soul at work, at home, anywhere you find yourself at all. You need to watch over. You need to be a watchman. Now, what does it mean to be a watchman? I will be citing an example before I look at, you know, we look at the scriptures we'll be considering today. I will still refer to a movie called The Titanic Ship. I'm not sure if you've come across that before, but you can Google it, Titanic. The Titanic movie actually depicts how a huge ship basically got struck by an iceberg, in which there were watchmen that were supposed to keep high out on the tower to be able to make sure that the ship is guided against a watchman and all that. And there are two young a male and a female young adults who were playing love, and those who were supposed to be starting watch basically actually got carried away by the love affairs of these young adults, and then the ship actually got struck by an iceberg. So that is the negligence of not being a watchman. Now, when you read through the stories of the Titanic, you will discover how the ship, the very huge ship ever built, basically got struck by an iceberg, and then a lot of people actually died during that process, but some actually got rescued and all that. So we are supposed to watch over our soul. God watches over us. He doesn't want anything to harm us, but there is a need for us to stand guard. What does it mean to be a watchman? Now, the story of the 10 virgins speaks loud on how men should keep their lights burning, to saddle up, basically. We are in the end time, right? And if we are waiting for anyone else to watch over our soul, basically, or for a minister of God or for a pastor in church, of course, they are there basically to watch over us, to guide us in the way of God and all that. But personally, you need to watch over your soul, the way a father watches over the children, basically, to make sure that they're okay. At night, you wake up, maybe 2 a.m., you just look at them, okay, everything is okay, then you went back, you go back to bed. Okay, is everything okay? You wake up just to make sure that everything is good. That is how God expects us to be watchmen, basically. Now, there is if you look at the story of the 10 virgin, you know, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish and all that. And then when the bridegroom came, they don't have oil in their lamp, and then they had to stay back. The ones that had their light burning, basically, and then they went with him. So that is it depicts the story of watchmen, how we are supposed to watch over our soul. I'll take a reading from the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let's consider Matthew chapter 25 first. Matthew chapter 25 first. Matthew 25. And it says there in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And so they were basically, this story talks about the five virgins, and five were wise, five were foolish. And of course, it's possible for you to keep the night watches, but not being able to understand how basically you can keep the night watches without being carried away by some distraction, some things that would make you lose sight of the goal of keeping the night watches. Now, it's important in the book of Matthew as well, chapter 13 in verse 24. It says there, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household that came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto them, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather them up, you root up also the wheat also. Now, in verse 28, it says, An enemy has done this. So there is a need for you to watch over your soul. The need for you to watch over your soul. Now, it is individual's responsibility to watch over his or her soul. It is individual responsibility to keep the watches, basically. So, the making of a watchman starts with establishing a prayer altar, basically. You need to have a prayer altar. Now, the prayer altar, when you have a prayer altar, I mean, it could be somewhere in your room, it could be somewhere in your house, but then you are devoted to that time of the day that you go to pray. Now, if you look at the patriarchs of all, the lives of Daniel, that prays to God, the lives of Abraham and all that, they set up altars. You've come across words like, okay, Abraham set up an altar, they set up an altar, and altars have been mentioned from time to time. With the patriarchs, you would discover that prayer altar, you cannot keep a watch without a prayer altar. Prayer is a way you communicate and the way God communicates with us, basically. So there is a communication that has to do either, by you talking to God and by God talking to you, but you can get more from God through prayer. Now, you need to have an established altar. Those in the world, those who are on the other side, who actually serve Satan, keeps altars, basically. And this is the same thing with the kingdom of God. God is a spirit, and for you to be able to commune with him, you can commune with him only through prayer, basically. You must have an established prayer altar, and you must keep that altar burning. That is the making. That's one of the making of a watchman. You must understand the language of sacrifices, because keeping a prayer altar comes with some responsibility. We talk about, set deniers, even at odd hours, when men are sleeping, you are awake praying to God. Now, you have a set time when the Holy Spirit will guide you on how to make sure that the prayer altar light fire keeps burning. It will be the one, because establishing a prayer altar is not, it has to be intentional. It's something you would have to drive by yourself. You have to fuel it every day. You have to, and it is not convenient for anyone to create a prayer altar, but if you want to really experience the move of God and the power of God in your life, if you need to, if you need God to reveal things to you, if you need God to, there really must be an established altar. Those that, discuss with Satan, those that have dialogue with Satan, like the herbalists and those who don't believe in God, actually have an altar and they communicate with spirits, basically. So through enchantments and through all that, they communicate with spirits, and then it's not convenient for anyone. Some of them wake up 2 a.m. in the night to cast spells, some of them, and then you discover that it's a sacrifice, basically, because they have the confidence in what they are doing, which talks about the nonsense. I mean, the things that really doesn't make sense, basically. But then there is, you must be able to understand the language of sacrifice, self-denial. You must partner with the Holy Ghost, because keeping your prayer altar burning, you must understand that it is not by power, it is not by might. You need to partner with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that will tell you, okay, this is how to do it. You don't need to worry about how he's going to instruct you, but he's going to instruct you on the way to make sure that your prayer altar is properly established, basically. It's going to tell you, this is how to do it. Okay, this is the hours you have to do. Okay, you have to do these hours. You have to pray these hours. You have to keep a watch this hour. It's going to instruct you that way. And that is, you cannot personally, in your own physical self, establish a prayer altar without a person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will come and guide you. That is the Spirit of God. Now, you must understand that in establishing a prayer altar, understanding the language of sacrifice, partnering with the Holy Spirit, this is not convenient. But that has to be done if you want to be a watchman. It has to be done. It has to be done. If you want to experience the power of God, you want to experience the real matters, the deep matters, you want to come into the inner circle of God, you want to understand kingdom matters, you need to understand that sacrifice is non-negotiable. You have to understand that language. Now, a robust prayer life, it has to be an everyday thing. It's not something you do for one day and then you do for 2 days and then you go and rest, and you do for 1 week and then you go and rest, and then you it's you it gives you it makes you be at home with God at any time. Whatever challenges, anything at all, it makes you to be at home with God. And there is nothing that can defeat a man that has a prayer altar. Nothing can defeat a man that has a prayer altar. Now, if you want to have, you want to understand how some things happen, you want to understand why some matters happen. Maybe someone runs to you and they says, I'm having this challenge, I'm having this challenge. Now, if you want to inquire from the Spirit of God, or you want to inquire from God, what is really going on? If that person has, maybe someone has an attack or something like that, and then you want to investigate, you want to find out, if you don't have a robust prayer altar, don't even go into those details. And you understand why you have deliverance ministers, you have this, you have that. It's because those people have a robust prayer altars. You want to get intelligence from God concerning your business, you must have an established prayer altar. It is very important. It is very important. You must have an established prayer altar. And that is some of those things that it takes to make a good watchman. You must watch. Everyone is called to watch. Not just, this is a general call. It's not just a specific call to anyone. It's a general call to everyone. It's a general call. The making of a watchman. Everyone is called to watch, just like angels watch, basically. You have some set of angels that watches, you have some that carries information. All of them keeps watches. We also, as humans on earth, are supposed to keep watches concerning our lives. We are supposed to be watchmen. We are supposed to watch over our fears, basically. God watches over us, but we have a responsibility to be able to, you know, have access into certain intelligence that God will, is ready and is willing to deploy to us. But if we don't understand how to keep these watches, there is no way we'll be able to have access to some intelligence that God is willing and ready to release to us. Never forget that the enemy is against a man's soul. He will just want to make sure his duty, his responsibility is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And how does he do it? If someone is negligent, you don't keep watches. You're not a watchman. You don't even know what is going on around you. You don't have access to intelligence. You don't know what is about to happen in the next 10 days. You don't know what is, even if you want to travel, you don't know what God is saying about your trip down to wherever you're going. You have an established business and the business is not booming. You want to have intelligence on what is really going on. There are a lot of things. Maybe someone around you falls sick or got attacked and you know that is an attack, but you want to find out. You must learn to keep your watches. God is willing to share certain information to us if we are willing to partner with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is willing to show us things about the economy of God if we are willing to pay the price. So are you willing to pay the price of being a watchman today? Are you willing to pay the price of being a watchman today? I want to encourage you that everyone is called to be a watchman. But then, how then can you come into the economy of God in the first place? You need to accept the person of Jesus. And as you accept the person of Jesus Christ, certain things will be introduced to you through his words. When you read Christ's word daily, the words of Jesus, you begin to get educated with an open heart. The Holy Spirit begin to educate you about the things, how the kingdom operates, what is involved in the kingdom and all that. And then you need to ensure that you pray every day, you maintain certain, you know, prayer mode, and then you read the scriptures every day. And then the Holy Spirit begins to educate you about how the kingdom works. Now, when it will get to a point where the Holy Spirit says, okay, I need you to go deeper. Okay, and then I need you to go deeper. I need you to go deeper. Just like a child who, you know, who starts kindergarten, after kindergarten move to the nursery level, after the nursery move to the primary level, after the primary level move to the second. Someone can decide that he wants to stay at the secondary level. Someone can decide that, well, it's just the primary level. It's just the, you know, JK I want to stop, or the SK I want to stop, or I want to stop at the college. I just want to pursue the first degree. The same way with the kingdom of God. The same way with the Christian faith. Someone can decide, no, I want to stay at the primary level. I want to stay at the secondary level. I want to go to the university. Now I want to have my second, I now want to have my PhD. That's the same way, right, with keeping the night watch or the making of a watchman. I want to encourage you that it is important for us to keep watch over our lives, over our soul. The devil does not sleep. We also must be encouraged, must have a strong confidence in that which we believe if we want to make heaven at the end. is doing all he can. And if we don't have intelligence to the things of God, we can be carried away with the activities and with the project that the devil is building here and there. And we don't want to make mess of that which we have received, which is the gift of salvation. And if you are listening to the sound of my voice and you have not given your life to Christ, this is another opportunity for you to do so, so that you can be a watchman, so that you can keep your fire burning. I will be praying with you this moment. Let's close our eyes. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. A righteous God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today's message, the making of a watchman. Lord, we've read through your scriptures in the book of Matthew 13:24, how that the enemy came so fierce among the wheat. Lord, help us, O God, to be watchmen, to watch over our lives, over our soul, in the name of Jesus. And as many that are yet to give their life to you, they want to be watchmen. Lord, I pray that you will touch their hearts, O God, cleanse them from their sins, purge them in the name of Jesus Christ. Save them and deliver them from their sins, and give them an armor of righteousness in the name of Jesus. Let your grace be made available to them today to live above sin and temptation. And let the power and the hold of sin concerning their lives be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will walk with them this moment to teach them the ways of your kingdom and to make them watchmen over their lives, over their soul, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for now it is done. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.